Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you today? This is from James. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Whenever we talk about prayer, it seems like it elicits just a stream of questions. Because for a lot of us, prayer is a challenge. It is a wrestling match. Especially, I think, when we talk to the guys in the room, prayer is a little bit more difficult for us, I think. Maybe I'm overstating that, but ladies, you know, it's difficult sometimes to get us to talk, to be honest, to open up. But whenever we talk about prayer, the questions come up, does prayer even make a difference? Or does God hear me? Or I've prayed and nothing seems to have changed. Is that me? Sorry. Do I have to pray for people I don't like? What about praying for my enemies? And then the question of praying for other people. How do I pray for other people? Or maybe even, what do I pray for other people? In my job, I get to find myself at hospitals often when people are nearing the end of their life. And it's always an honor to pray for them, but it is also something I feel very, very uncomfortable with. Because you sit there with a family and you ask the question, well, what do I even pray for? What do I ask God in this moment, right? And it's difficult. And there are times when I'm sure each of you have been asked to pray for someone, and there is this sense of like, yeah, but what do I actually pray for? How do I pray for them? What do I pray for them? And those are really important, honest, real questions. And I think it is so incredibly important for each of us to wrestle with those questions. They're not questions that we just dismiss and don't worry about, but we enter into those and we wrestle with them. But the question I want to really focus on this morning is how, or maybe what, do we pray for someone? But before we jump into that, I want to take just a second to talk about prayer in general. Because if we need to kind of get a little foundation. If you've been here for a long, we've talked about this often. We've talked about it several times. But most of the time we think about prayer, it's us praying, trying to get God to do what we want. Right? We wouldn't say it probably that boldly. But at the end of the day, really, that's the essence of a lot of our prayers. Trying to get God to do what we want Him to do for us. And when we ask that question, does prayer actually work? Does God hear me? Did God move in this? That's really what we're asking. Right? Did God do what we asked Him to do? What we wanted Him to do? Did God intervene in the way, and honestly, let's be honest, the way we thought He should intervene? I remember prayers growing up and how my prayer life has changed. Anyone else in high school forget about or maybe not study for a test? Anyone? Come on, be honest. See your hands, okay? And how many people prayed? Yes, okay. God, if you will get me through this test, I promise next time I will study. Anyone else? Yes? Yes? Okay, there's some honest people, okay? All right, don't feel bad. This is a safe place right here. We can all talk. But the primary purpose of prayer is not to get God to do what we want. The primary purpose of prayer is that we would be properly formed. The purpose of prayer is learning to align our life with the will of the Father. And so prayer is a practice. It is something we practice and we practice and we practice. It is a practice of listening more than speaking. It is a practice of being more than doing. It is a practice of surrendering more than controlling. But prayer is a practice, and the primary purpose of it is that we would be formed by it, that it would transform us, that it would change us. Right, which brings up the question then, wait, so is it not okay to pray that God change circumstances? Is it not okay for us to pray for God to do what we want Him to do? Right? Someone asked us, I have cancer, and I want you to pray that God would eradicate this cancer. Or we're struggling in our pregnancy, and we're praying that God, is it okay to pray for those things? I would say, absolutely. And boldly. Right? Right after James talks about prayer in the life of the church. And how important it is. He gives an example of a guy named Elijah. And he said, Elijah prayed that it would not rain. And for 3.5 years, it did not rain. And then he prayed that it would rain. And rain fell on the earth and it replenished. And there was this abundant crop. Because Elijah had to pray the faith to ask for it. Jesus tells a parable of a persistent widow who keeps going to a judge, knocking on the door and saying, will you please give me justice for my adversary? And he refuses to listen or answer, and she keeps showing up time and time and time again. And then Jesus adds this into the parable. He says this, can we go to that? Yeah. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I do not fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? All right, This persistent widow keeps coming to the judge and saying, give me justice, give me justice, give me justice. And the judge finally says, no, okay, fine. Because you continue to show up and because you continue to ask, then I am going to grant you justice. Do we ask God to forgive or to change our circumstances? Absolutely. 100%. And I think I look at that parable and I think, so is Jesus asking us to nag him to death? Right? I mean, that's what it seems like, right? But Jesus is not sitting here saying, God is really reluctant to answer those prayers. See, I think the problem most of the time isn't that God is reluctant, but that we quit too quickly. That we aren't persistent in our prayers. Praying in faith that God is going to change and going to heal. And sometimes He will, and sometimes He won't. But the purpose, again, is not to get God to do what we want. It's to help align our hearts with the will of the Father. It's that we would be formed more and more in His likeness. Our responsibility is to carry each other to Jesus, to pray when others are too weak to pray, pray when others don't have the faith to pray. Will He change those circumstances? I don't know. Pray for it. Plead with God to do it. But that's not the primary purpose. But I said I really wanted to focus in on the question of how or what do we pray for each other. And so what I tried to do was go through the New Testament and look at all the times that Jesus prayed for other people. And look at all the times the apostles, the disciples prayed for other people. What were the focus of their prayers? What did they ask God on behalf of other people? Because what I found was not quite the same thing that I typically want to pray for other people. And so there were a lot of different directions to go, but I tried to kind of categorize these into four different categories. The first thing that Jesus, the apostles, I think prayed for was that the people would know God. The people would know God, that they would see Jesus, that they would fall in love with Him, that they would find knowledge of Him. Jesus, as He's praying for, and I'm going to try to give you just a couple of, I hate giving you this many verses in a single message because I feel like sometimes it just becomes noise that you don't remember all of them. And hopefully you can maybe write these down and go back and look at a little bit bigger in the context. But John, as Jesus is praying for His disciples, He says this, "Now this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who You have sent." And that's what Jesus is praying for the church, that they would know God, that they would know Him as God. Right? The apostles, they pray. In Colossians, Paul says this, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." All right? Continue on. "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." Right? And that prayer, or that type of prayer, is prayed over and over and over and over throughout Scripture. Praying for spiritual wisdom. Praying for the love of Christ to be cultivated in our hearts. Praying for sanctification, for God making us more and more like Him and forming us in His will. Okay? The second thing that I think you see them praying for is that they would love one another well. They pray for unity of the body and unity in Christ. Jesus, in that same section there in John 17, says this, "That all of them may be one, Father, just as You are in Me and I am in You, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me." Praying for all of those who believe in Jesus to be one, just as God and Jesus are one. Paul in Romans, "May God, who gives endurance and encouragement, give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That we would have the same mind, the same attitude, and it's for a purpose. That collectively, as the body of Christ, we would glorify God the Father. Right? So praying for unity, for reconciliation, for eyes to see His goodness and grace, praying for opportunity, interceding with each other on behalf of one another, praying for families and churches and communities. Like you see these prayers prayed over and over and over in Scripture. Third is to stand strong. That is the body of Christ, and that as individuals we would be able to stand strong in His grace. Jesus, praying for Peter, says, "But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Right? Jesus is praying for Peter that you're not going to fall. That you're going to be able to endure. That you're going to be able to stand in strength. In Thessalonians, Paul, "And I pray that we may be delivered from the wicked and evil people. For not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." Right? Praying for strength, healing, endurance, protection, joy, that God would strengthen us in our suffering, that He would bring healing in our sickness, that He would help us stand when we can't. Because we don't carry those outcomes for people. We just simply carry those people to God, to the one who can hear and the one who can intervene. And then fourth is that we would reveal Christ. Jesus on the cross reveals the heart of the Father in just simple, simple words. He says this, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. For they do not know what they are doing." And they divided His clothes by casting lots. Jesus praying, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." Revealing Christ to the world. And Paul again in Colossians. "And I pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." So what are they praying for other people? Right? That they would know God. They're praying that they would love one another well. They're praying to stand strong for endurance. And they're praying that we would reveal Christ. And as I was thinking about that, I was just thinking about the times that I pray for other people. And it's usually, if anything, probably the stand strong. Right, God, I pray that you would heal them. I pray that. But how often do we pray for one another that they would see Christ more clearly? Or that they would grow in the knowledge and love of Jesus? Because I think that was the number one thing I found that was prayed for in all of Scripture. Is that others would see and know Christ. And the second thing was unity of the body. That we would be one as God is one with Christ. Is that what you pray for other people? Because I'll be honest, that's not what I jump to. That's not what I jump to. Remember, the purpose of prayer is that we would be properly formed. Not that we would get God to do what we want. Prayer is about aligning our heart with the will of the Father. And it is so easy to get caught up in this very temporal needs right now mentality of this is what we're praying for. But I think what Jesus, what Paul, what the other apostles kept in the picture in their life so much better than I do is this is not all there is. This life here and now is fleeting. It is like a vapor. It is here and gone. But what they prayed for were things that were eternal. They were praying for things that are going to stand the test of time. So yes, pray for here and now. Pray for God to move mountains. Pray for miracles. But pray to be formed more and more into the image and the likeness of Jesus. But prayer is a practice. It is something that you have to do over and over and over and over to, and I don't know if there's a better way to say it, but to get good at it. To start to feel comfortable at it. But the problem, I think, for so many of us is we feel uncomfortable in that moment, and so we stop. I always joke with my kids when I ask them to try something new, and they're like, Dad, that doesn't work, or that's hard. And our joke in our family is, if first you don't succeed, then just quit. But I feel like so many times that's how prayer is approached in our life. Is that felt uncomfortable, or I didn't know what to do, or I sat there and I didn't feel this oneness. But it takes practice. It takes doing over and over. We grow in it. And so I want to give you a challenge today to simply become a prayer warrior who carries other people to Jesus, who prays for other people to know God, to love one another well, to stand strong, and to reveal Christ. That our prayers for other people would move the heart of God. So pray for one another. When it's awkward, when you don't know what to pray, pray before and continue to pray even though nothing has changed. Pray when your faith is hanging by a thread. Pray when their faith is gone. Just pray. So three things. I'm going to give you a homework, I guess we'll say. I'll give you some homework. You can choose one of the three, or you can do one of them. I want to challenge you. Do one of these this week at least, if not all three. Okay? Here's the first one. Write down one name. Write down the name of someone that you can pray for this week. And day after day, pray for them. Pray for them that they would know God. Pray for them that they would find unity in the body. Pray for them that they would stand strong. Pray for them that they would reveal Christ in the world. But pick one person and pray for them. Don't have to fix the problems. Just carry them to Jesus. Second, pray with someone today. This is one of those things, and I'll tell you, I'm really bad about, but I see someone, they tell me what they're going through, and I say, I'll pray for you. Let's not do that. I caught myself doing it this morning, and I stopped and I said, wait, let me pray for you right now. Wouldn't it be beautiful if you just walk through the foyer of this place, and there are just people praying over one another. Right? Not, hey, I'll pray for you later and hopefully I'll remember. But just stop and say, hey, let me pray for you right now. And it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be a huge, long ordeal. But just simply pray for them. God, would you relieve their burdens? Would you lift their head? God, would you give them strength to endure? God, would you allow them to see you? Amen. It can be so simple, but it is so powerful. Not only forming us, but forming them as well. Three, start a rhythm of intercession. Pick a time, pick a place, and just commit every single day. 6 a.m., I'm going to sit on my patio. I'm going to grab a cup of coffee, and I'm just going to pray for someone. Just continue to build that habit, to do it over and over and over. Keep praying. The widow kept knocking. Jesus continues to intercede. He sends his Spirit to pray through us. So now, pray. Not just for ourselves, but one another. That we may love God well. May one love one another well. That we would stand strong. And that we would reveal Christ. So let me pray for you. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, now and forevermore.